try to top this date from hell. Debbie and Steve had dated a year when Steve set the bottom line. They couldn't consider marriage until Debbie met his family. If she and his family didn't click, they couldn't get engaged. His family was Italian, lived in Chicago, and was very close and traditional. He planned to move back one day. Debbie and Steve flew to Chicago, and she met the 20 relatives, aunts, uncles, cousins, and grandparents who came over to Steve's parents' house for lunch every Sunday. His family was wonderful, but Debbie was nervous. Still, she let herself be amused by Steve's great aunt, who talked to herself loudly, and by his mother, who prepared special meals for her tiny Yorkshire terrier, calling the dog the best child I have. Before lunch, Debbie poured herself a third glass of wine and roamed around the big two-story house. She heard Steve's mother announce that everyone should come into the dining room, and she hurriedly searched for a bathroom. She considered asking for directions, but was worried that she might slur her words and ruin any chance of making a winning first impression. She finally found a tiny powder room that had only a sink and mirror. Because it was an emergency, Debbie decided to improvise, using the sink as a toilet. Debbie climbed aboard, and the sink tore out of the wall, pitching her across the narrow room. She banged her head against the wall and was out cold while water spewed from the plumbing. Steve began searching for her, and eventually his family joined him. He called her name and knocked at the powder room. She didn't answer. He was about to move on when he saw water seeping under the door. Steve and his father decided to bust open the door. All the relatives crowded into the doorframe to see their future in-law sprawled on her back with her skirt up and her panties down, with a sink at her feet and water gushing out of the wall. 6 months later, recovered from a concussion, Debbie couldn't believe that Steve wanted her to return to his family for another try at lunch. She didn't know what was worse, that she had demolished a powder room, that his family had seen her private parts, or that they knew she had been peeing in the sink. But Steve convinced her to put her pride aside and give it another go. When Debbie arrived, she was mortified, but midway through lunch, she relaxed a little. Steve's family was putting the episode behind them, and so was she. "See," her boyfriend whispered. "It's going great. They love you." He seemed so happy that he practically rubbed noses with her. Toward the end of the meal, Steve's father, who had been away on business, arrived. Debbie winced when she remembered that he had helped Steve take her to the hospital. The father was coming toward her. Debbie wanted to make a run for it, but this was her future father-in-law, and she had to give him a big greeting. She took a deep breath and pushed back her chair. She could feel her heart beating and knew her adrenaline was soaring. Just as she stood up, stepped forward, and grasped his hand, Debbie heard a cracking noise and a little sound she had never heard before. Still clasping her future father-in-law's hand, she looked down. There was her right shoe. On one side of her shoe, she saw two large eyes and a pink tongue, and on the other side of her shoe, she watched a tiny tail give one last thump. Her future mother-in-law's Yorkie must have been napping, curled around the leg of Debbie's chair, and when Debbie stood up, she stepped right onto its neck, snapping it. She'd killed the dog. A lot of people would like to meet the real Debbie and Steve if they exist. This is the kind of adventure we chronicle and pass on. Instead of gathering around a campfire swapping Wild West tales, we sit around a TV set or at a dinner table or a bar, wincing while this urban myth unfolds. A whopper like this knocks on our darkest dating fears. It has such a strong draw because everyone has been on a lousy date, and almost everyone has been on a date from hell. If you're lucky enough to have escaped, count your blessings, because if you date long enough, your number is bound to come up. From the match game to love connection to the board game mystery date, dating is billed as an innocent, exciting, promising lark that we hope will lead to love. Which is why we date, which is why we suffer through dates from hell, and which is why we love to take solace in hearing delicious, disastrous dating stories. We all know that dating can be perilous, and it helps to know we are not alone. In contrast to the stories included here, stories like, "We reached for the same box of cereal at the same time and got married a month later," are cute, but what are the odds of this occurring routinely? As a single friend whispered after hearing one of these romantic anecdotes, nauseating. Hearing a date from hell, on the other hand, has a rousing effect. Dates from hell are the legends, the Valentines with a bent arrow. A date from hell is a setup, a fix-up, a mix-up. It's a bust, a bomb, a wipeout. And it's more than that. It's a short stick of dynamite, or a downhill slide into disaster. This is levels beyond your basic awful date. You can't wait to tell a friend how you survived it, and your friend can't wait to hear about it. In the following dates from hell, you'll travel on hellish trips through the Twilight Zone. You'll hear the screams. You'll feel the sweat bead on your forehead as catastrophes are recalled by the survivors who live to tell their tales. These stories come from all over the country, from men and women in a range of ages who wanted to confess and be heard. Listen to a few, and your own worst dates just may seem, on second thought, a lot less traumatic. The following dates from hell can top the Yorkie date because they're just as much a roller coaster ride, and they're all true.